You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Caring Connection, and I am your host, Nicole Bruno. Today, I have the pleasure to speak with Erica Johnson, lead physical therapist with Rex Pelvic Health Program. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, thank you.
So today we're going to talk about pelvic health. Now that brings up lots of different ideas in my mind. What exactly is pelvic health?
So pelvic health therapy or rehabilitation is a subspecialty that deals primarily with problems either of the bowel, of the bladder, can also be pain in the pelvic area, which would be sort of categorized as, you know, below the spine, in the general, you know, pelvis area. And it can incorporate one of those things or all of those.
Great. So you brought with you some of the top 10 things that people don't know about your topic but probably should. And I thought I'd highlight a few of these because I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely.
Okay. So first one up, even when we were having casual conversation today, I already messed up on this one. A person should be continent, no leaking of bladder or bowels, even in later years. And I just assumed that that was a normal part of aging.
As do many people, but there are many different conservative treatments, physical therapy being one of those, that can help prevent continence even at a later age.
So interesting, and I know you're going to get into this later, a thought that physical therapy can assist with that. It's just such an interesting concept to me, but I know we'll touch on that in a little bit. A person under 50 years old should not have to go to the bathroom at night. Uh-oh.
Correct.
That's not me.
So a person under the age of 50 should be able to make it approximately 6 to 8 hours without needing to get up to urinate at night.
Okay. I'm keeping a tally of all my issues now. Okay. A person over 50 years old should only have to go once at night.
That's correct as well. The exception would be if there's somebody on some type of diuretic or medication that creates, you know, a greater frequency. But yes, the normal person should not have to go to the bathroom more than once at night.
So this is a quick question I'm just going to throw out at you. Why would a person ever have to go once at night? Why does that change as you get older, even a little bit?
I think part of it's sleep quality.
Okay.
So sleep quality sometimes can change. Part of it is also general amount of time they sleep. Mm-hmm. Potentially diet can change in there.
Sure.
And then also just the capacity and the ability to sleep through that
feeling,
you know,
yeah,
urge.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I guess I'm maybe going to give myself a pass because my sleep quality isn't the best. So I'm getting up
precisely
with a baby.
Precisely.
And then I go, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. So all right, I'll cross that one off my list.
Cross that one off. And it's definitely a question that we ask is, do you have pets that wake you up at night?
Or children.
Do you have children that wake you up at night? Is there something else that wakes you up? Because if you're waking up anyway, that urge to go to the bathroom is going to kick in and then you know, need to go.
Okay.
Absolutely. So.
All right. So you should only have to urinate every 2 to 4 hours during the day.
And that just basically is in response to how much the bladder should hold capacity-wise. So if you're going to the bathroom every 30 minutes or every 60 minutes, your bladder's not filling correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you also shouldn't be holding it for 8 hours during the day, which is we sometimes call a healthcare bladder because
That's a lot
of us can hold it forever.
Yes.
And that results later on in sort of a floppy bladder.
Uh-oh.
Or a potentially overstretched bladder that doesn't empty as well.
Yeah. Okay. Back on the list. Okay. You should not have to strain or have pain with urination or defecation.
Correct. So when you have the urge to go to the bathroom, and you should definitely wait till you have an urge,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to sit down on the toilet, and you need to sit because squatting affects your pelvic floor muscles.
Okay.
And
so those public toilets.
Yes, those public toilets. You definitely need to sit, or at least try to find a way to sit. Maybe take the little toilet paper covers with you.
Yeah.
But there should not be any effort. It should be one of those you sit, you take a deep breath if you need to, and then either the urine or the feces comes out.
Okay. It is not normal to wear a pad all day, every day.
And that just represents the ability to be continent. So you shouldn't need a pad because you're leaking urine or feces during the day. And a pad can definitely affect the general sort of health in that vulvar vaginal area.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so these top 10 that you're going over, these have more to do with women than men, I'm guessing?
Some of them, but really this relates to both men. Men just tend to not have as many incontinence problems unless they've had a prostatectomy or prostate problems in general.
They haven't had babies.
And they haven't had babies, so they haven't had the added stress to their pelvic floor muscles.
Sure. Okay. Many natural products make better lubricants versus products sold in stores. That's an interesting one.
It is. And things, for example, KY or Astroglide have significant amounts of known vaginal irritants in them.
Sure.
And can be very irritating to that very sensitive skin that's we call it mucosal tissue, that's inside the vagina. It's very similar to that of your mouth or your eyelids. And so I always kind of try to tell my clients to think about, would you put it in your mouth? You know, is that something? And so we often use natural products because they're known to be safe on that type of tissue.
That's good. And last but not least, a stool may help empty your bowel and bladder more completely with less effort. What does that mean?
What a stool does is it puts your knees above your hips.
Okay.
And when your knees are above your hips, it allows for what we call the colorectal angle. So it's a position of relaxation for the pelvic floor muscles. Mm-hmm. And this allows the bowels to empty or the bladder to empty better because they're not having any resistance from the pelvic floor muscles themselves.
Okay. So some good tips before we get into the nitty-gritty here. Okay. So you mentioned earlier pelvic health and physical therapy. How is pelvic health physical therapy different from another physical therapy?
Not as much as I think everybody thinks that we're different. Mm-hmm. Many of us come from an orthopedic background. We're all still regular physical therapists. We could all still treat like knees and hips, but we've had additional training specifically in the pelvic floor muscles that are inside of the bony pelvis. And we are trained in how to do an internal assessment of the pelvic floor muscles,
which is very different.
Yeah. It's similar to sort of an OBGYN exam or maybe a rectal exam for male clients. And then we're also trained more specifically in what is normal for bladder, what is normal for bowel, how the whole process of urination and defecation work.
Interesting. Well, on that note, we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Erica Johnson, lead physical therapist with Rex Pelvic Health Program. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is your host, Nicole Bruno of Caring Connections, and I'm here talking today with Erica Johnson, lead physical therapist with the Rex Pelvic Health Program, and we are talking about pelvic health. Welcome back, Erica.
Thank you.
Okay, so we were just talking a little bit about the top 10 things that people ought to know about pelvic health and probably don't, and we briefly mentioned about how pelvic health physical therapy is different than other types of physical therapy, being that, you know, you still are a regular physical therapist, but with additional training that makes you specialize in the field of pelvic health. So you talked a little bit about the fact that you're able to give internal examinations, which is very specific to your type of training. What would someone expect, you know, if they decided to have an evaluational treatment? Say someone is, you know, feeling some of those things, you know, they're wearing a pad all day, that they're getting up to go to the bathroom several times all night, and, you know, they're having difficulty urinating when they're sitting on a toilet, and their physician is bright enough to say, hey, there's such a program as a pelvic health program, and maybe you need to figure it out. What would they expect when they come in for that evaluation or treatment initially?
So they will meet one-on-one, obviously, in a private treatment room with one of our trained pelvic health therapists. They will be in our office generally for about an hour to an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very thorough, complete evaluation. We would go through specific history, especially for women, obstetric history, obviously any kind of surgical history that involves maybe the back, the pelvis, you know, vaginal surgeries. We do a ton of education on the bowel, the bladder. We have 3D models of the pelvic floor muscles, so we'll do education with that. And then we will do a pelvic exam if necessary, and obviously if agreed upon by the client. Mm-hmm. Then we will prescribe a home exercise program or a home program very specific to that patient's complaints. Mm-hmm. Then we would follow up with them generally one or two times a week initially, and then we decrease frequency as they start to get better. And then their follow-up treatments generally last about 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, wow.
And contain bowel and bladder retraining, maybe some hands-on therapy, mm-hmm. different exercises, and then we try to progress their home exercise program and continue to provide education.
So it sounds like this can make a really big difference for people.
Very big difference. Wow. Very big difference for quality of life.
So can you prescribe a medication or order a test? Is it as simple as that?
No, we cannot.
Oh, come on. There's no magic pill for this.
There may be some magic pills out there, but the nice part about any of the pelvic health therapy is that this is conservative. There's no injections. Mm-hmm. There's no medications that we can legally or otherwise prescribe. Now, a physician may put them on some medications mm-hmm. for some of these, but we are not part of that piece of the treatment. And we cannot order tests. We are always in contact with physicians, and mm-hmm. if there's something that we feel is
amiss,
concerning, exactly, then we can always talk to them. But it ultimately, medications or tests or injections, surgery as mm-hmm. well, has to come from the physician. Physical therapists cannot do that.
So speaking of physicians, if I listen to the show and get interested in this program and want to reach out and find out more information, do I have to have a referral to come see you, or can I self...
It depends on your insurance. Excellent question. It depends on your insurance. There are some insurance companies that allow self-referral, mm-hmm. and North Carolina is a direct access state, so mm-hmm. you can come to us on your own. Mm-hmm. With Medicare, you have to have a referral,
and
there are some other insurances out there that require a referral to physical therapy. We like referrals just because it gives us
the background,
and it also gives us a chance to see what the physician was thinking in terms of diagnoses. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely something that is up to the individual's insurance.
So what types of doctors do you typically work with? Is it typically your gynecologists and obstetricians, or do family practice doctors?
We actually get a fair number of referrals from family practice, internal medicine physicians. We have a large number of referrals from GI specialists because that's who often people seek for bowel problems. Mm-hmm. We also have referrals from urologists, and then we get a good number of referrals from urogynecologists.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we get OBGYNs and then sort of a little bit of a mix of the rest of them.
So it sounds like to me you're one of those best kept secrets, and I'm glad to hear the secrets out a little bit.
I hope so. I definitely hope so. I think there's a lot of people out there that could have a significant improvement in their quality of life with a few physical therapy visits.
Yeah, definitely. So men. Do you see men, and do men have these problems too?
We do see men, and men do have these problems. It is quite a bit less than women, and I think part of that is anatomy, mm-hmm. and part of that is also whether they're willing to seek treatment for some of these these potential diagnoses that could be helped by therapy. Mm-hmm. The number of male clients that we're seeing has grown steadily. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's also one of those things. They're starting to see that there is a conservative treatment mm-hmm. and seeking help with therapy.
So do you have a sense as to why these pelvic floor muscles kind of give out on us?
Kind of like all the rest of our muscles.
Oh, dear.
And pelvic floor muscles are skeletal muscles just like our quad muscles in mm-hmm. our legs or our bicep muscles in our arms. They contract and relax the same way. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're inside our pelvis, and it's not something that we can see. It's mm-hmm. not something that everybody feels as well as mm-hmm. we can feel the rest of our muscles because they're smaller and often weaker. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why they fail. Also, mm-hmm. for women,
we don't give them much attention.
We don't give them a lot of attention because we don't see them. So it's sort of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And for women who have had children, the baby sits on those muscles. It acts as a hammock, in essence, for the baby. And so you have a 9-month stretch.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Figuratively and literally.
Exactly, to those muscles. And so without that proper rehab afterwards, with time, it definitely can affect them.
So a lot of what we've been talking about so far, and I know we have a lot more to get into, but is sort of what we do when we have a problem. Is there anything you can recommend to do proactively?
Absolutely. I love preventative. Mm-hmm. Education on what's normal for bowel and bladder, and there's obviously a lot of that mm-hmm. on the internet. You know, therapists can provide it, physicians can provide it, just so you know if what your habits are considered normal. There's Kegel exercises or pelvic floor muscle exercises, and I'm not really sure if it's Kegel or Kegel, but there's definitely that controversy out there. And those are basically very specific, isolated exercises to the pelvic floor muscles that help with strengthening. Interestingly enough, though, people who have pain mm-hmm. often shouldn't be doing Kegels.
Okay.
It actually can make it more tight, more tender, more painful. And so that's where having an assessment either by a physician or by a therapist can really point you in the correct direction.
Well, we are going to take another short break. I'm here today with Erica Johnson, the lead physical therapist with the Rex Pelvic Health Program. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back to Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of the show, and I am here today with Erica Johnson, the lead physical therapist with the Rex Pelvic Health Program, and we are talking about pelvic health. And we were just talking about some things that you can do proactively to help yourself, hopefully not have a problem, but if you do have a problem, it really sounds like this is a wonderful program to go through. And I just really wanted to lead off on just following sort of the proactive tone we were talking about is, are there any foods or drinks that are better than others for good bladder health? You always hear about cranberry juice. Is that a misnomer?
You know, it can be.
Okay.
It definitely can be. The big three, as I call it, that are bladder irritants and that can potentially increase frequency, urgency, incontinence problems would be alcohol, would be caffeine. So that's all your morning coffee and tea and soda. Then the other one is citric or highly acidic foods or drinks. So some of like your orange juice, grapefruit juice.
Yeah. Tomato sauce, I'm Italian.
Tomato sauce, yes. And, you know, definitely there's certain times of the year that I see that spike of irritation and that's those all those fresh tomatoes coming out. You know, so definitely sodas, carbonation can be irritating for some people. Artificial sweeteners can be. So that Diet Coke could be a triple whammy with the caffeine, the
carbonation.
The carbonation and then obviously the
artificial
sweeteners. So, you know, there's definitely water. Water is the best, and I know we all get a little bit sick of it every now and then, so we try to flavor it with maybe a little drop of something.
The lemon,
You gotta watch how much lemon, or try to flush out some of those caffeine. So if you have that morning coffee, having a couple glasses of water afterwards to dilute the acidity and the caffeine in it. And same with foods. There's definitely more foods that can be irritating and bothersome, more so to the bowel, but also to the bladder.
Okay. Well, it has been a complete pleasure to have you on the show
today.
Erica. You, I think, provided a lot of great information and a lot of things that people are just embarrassed to talk about. So
absolutely.
I'm glad that we were able to talk about this together in an open format. Thank you again for joining us for this episode of Caring Connections. I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. And as always, you may email your caring question to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Do you love keeping up with all the latest news and entertainment in Chapel Hill and Carborough?
Yes!
Well, look no further. The Chapelboro 2.0 app is here. all of your favorite news, sports, columns, scene around town photo galleries, and of course, streaming WCHL 97.9 live. Already have the old Chapelboro app? No sweat. Visit chapelboro.com today to follow the instructions to install the new one. Out with the old and in with the new. It's as simple as that. Visit chapelboro.com today.